Short disclaimer. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 14 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander. So let's start off. This was Thanksgiving. We just had the American holiday for Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy belated Thanksgiving, everyone who celebrates it.
Hope you all ate turkey if you ate turkey, or I know some of our...
Or veggie roast, or however, whatever you decided to.
I was
lots
just glad
of Brussels sprouts.
They were good.
Yes, they
I
were.
Was just glad to not see the tofurkey trotted out this year.
Yeah, no tofurkey, just a veggie roast thing.
So, on to announcements this week.
First, we definitely want to say that our hearts go out to those affected by the tragedy in Glasgow.
Oh, absolutely.
The helicopter accident at the pub... Clutha, I believe it was, and just a very sad, a very tragic accident, and you're in our thoughts and prayers.
So this week we had a few things this week. We had a few things this week. It wasn't crazy busy, but what I will say is that the things we did get were pretty stellar. I thought that the things we got were pretty awesome this week.
It was a pretty, for a holiday week when a lot of, at least Americans, were maybe on vacation or at least with family, maybe not, maybe because of the vacation they had more time to spend on social media, I don't know. But in a week that I would guess would be lackluster, we had a few neato things.
We did, and we got one thing that I'm glad I didn't notice until after Thanksgiving. And that was Outlander Stars posted a picture and a recipe for what is called partridge pie, which
is by itself, okay, fine, whatever. You get your kicks eating whatever you eat.
Dude, it had a whole dead bird on top of
but
it.
But it was a like, picture of a bird.
On top of a pie. Like, you'd expect if it's like some sort of pie, like, you know, they make chicken pot pie. It doesn't have any chicken on it. I mean, it's something that's cut up and put inside of it, not like
I mean, the head, like the eyes were closed. I'm like, is that a bird's head?
That was a whole bird's body.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much, Stars.
That is one recipe I am not planning on trying anytime soon.
Oh goodness.
Well, if I did make it, it would be decidedly less feathered.
Thing is, it looks like you would need two birds, one for decoration and one for the pie. Or is it just the shell of the bird?
I don't even know how you would do that and leave the feathers intact. Do you taxidermy it first and then...
No, taxidermy means you're stuffing it outdoors. No. Well, ooh, maybe they stuff the carcass with the stuff. But I know they slit an animal open and take out its... I'm sorry. From certain experiences I've had, no, I've not done this. But, well, really, yeah, I have. But not... It was to a dead animal. It wasn't to a live animal. You can slit an animal open, you know, like a taxidermist would.
Right.
And... not actually injure the outsides, if you will. So I'm guessing they
Does
took
that
out
work
the
with
innards.
Feathered animals, though, too?
I've done with birds, too. But
I'm making my sad
We're
face
not
right
here
now.
To talk about what I've done with animals. Anyway, with dead animals, please. Thank you.
Okay. Please specify that you are in, like, you were doing something in, like, it was a class.
Yes. It was...
She was not just horrifically
kicks.
Maiming animals on the side.
No,
it was a class.
It was in a class. It was in anatomy. So,
good Lord.
So I have some experience with dissection. But anyway, yeah, you can definitely open up a carcass and then kind of put it back, on one end only, one side, and then not, you can't tell maybe from the backside or whatever it is. But all I knew was the bird was a goner because the eyeballs were, first of all, it was I've done a lot of work with live birds as well, and you ain't going to get it to sit still. I'm sorry, unless it's ill or dead.
Yeah, they're not going to sit there on a pie while you put it in the oven. I mean, honestly.
I don't think that was put in the oven. Its feathers would have singed, no?
I am not an expert in the art of cooking a feathered bird.
I don't know that I've smelled burnt feathers, but I believe it's supposed to smell like burnt hair.
I mean, it's all kind of the same material, I believe.
Keratin, I think. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe they placed it on later. I don't know.
No, they probably put the decoration on top afterwards, yeah, for the presentation. It's all about presentation.
So if you decide you want to cook me a meal...
Don't do that.
Please don't make me partridge pie with a partridge carcass on it. That'd be awesome.
Oh my goodness, but wow. Okay, that took up how much time? That really wasn't a big event, but
no,
that was shocking. We didn't see it till today. And we were a little bit shocked that we hadn't, number one, seen it, and that we had not seen anyone remarking on it.
I was like, is that what I think it is?
That's a whole dead bird, a whole lot of bird.
We also got, this one was funny for me. There was a picture of, when I saw it, it was the quote that was with it on the Twitter account from Outlander Costumes was like, "These, we need help, we need to name these guys." So when I open the picture, I immediately don't look at who's holding them. I'm looking at what he's having in his hand. And when I look at pictures, I scan from left to right. So when I saw on the left-hand side a hedgehog, I just automatically assumed that they were all little hedgehogs. And then I happened to look up and notice that it was actually Sam holding what I thought was all hedgehogs. So I was distracted. I almost thought it was... I didn't notice it was Sam at first, and then I thought it was all hedgehogs. So I went and posted it on our Facebook page. I was like, "Hey, guys, I was so distracted by the hedgehogs, I almost didn't notice Sam." And then we got a reply that said, "I don't think anyone's even looking at the picture because there's actually a hedgehog, two guinea pigs, and a chick." And sure enough, she was absolutely right. I went back and looked at the picture, and I was like, I had... no clue what I was looking at. But Sam definitely looks like a 22-year-old virgin in that shot.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's...
It's definitely... it's the hair. It's the look on the eyes.
Cape, the cape almost looks like he's going in to get his hair cut. Like, it looks like he's sitting in a chair and they're going to cut his hair. But
they've decked the halls. They've decked Sam.
He is decked?
Yeah, I guess. It decked
him. And curly. His hair is very curly.
Yeah.
It's cute.
I wonder if it's natural. I want to say, my guess would, whatever, it doesn't matter, but it's very becoming.
I'll buy that. So we also got a picture from Outlander Stars on their Instagram, another behind the scenes kind of cast and crew shot. It was, I think it said the cast and crew monitoring spot.
Mm-hmm. A picture inside the cast crew, cast and crew monitoring viewing place.
Yeah, it's nice. I'm wondering what they're shooting. It's obviously nighttime in this shot, and you can see it's lit. And they are quite some distance from the actual filming. Mm-hmm. So who knows? They could be filming anything that happens at night, really. But it's just every new picture that they kick out makes me more and more excited for the actual show to start. And it doesn't really matter what the picture's of. I mean, I get excited anytime I see something that's posted that's cast-related production-related. Yeah. I'm just kind of like, whee!
Wee or squee?
Well, I was going wee.
Okay.
Wee!
Hope you weren't going for a wee.
No.
Okay, good.
And last but certainly not least...
The pièce de résistance.
was the video that we were provided this week.
Holy monkey on a chain. Oh my goodness. That was... Whew!
And I think it was entitled How to Speak Outlander?
Mm-hmm, something like that.
And... Like, the still shot that's with the video is of Sam. So you know Sam's going to be in there. But then the video starts and there's some other dude. And I was like, oh.
I think it's their Gaelic expert. I could be wrong.
I don't know.
The Gaelic expert was just, I'm sorry. I just have to say. And he was not bad looking. He looked just fine. But add in that accent. Holy monkey. Woo. What was that guy's name?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I have no idea. Because,
anyway.
Because once Sam basically pushed him out of the screen, he was like, he never existed.
That's true. But he did just fine. The look on his face, though, when Sam came out was, I know it was, I'm sure it was rehearsed, I'm sure it was planned, but the look on his face when Sam's like, no.
He's like, that's not how I say it. This is how I say it.
It was quite, it was funny.
No, it was very clever. And I'm really, really, and I know it said it was like episode one or lesson one, and I'm really hoping that they intend to make this an ongoing series of How to Speak Outlander videos, little vignettes. Because I could literally watch one of those a week for the next however many. That would be a nice way to help us tide over while we're waiting for the show to start. That would be very exciting. So yeah, all in all, I think it was a good week. I think the things that we got, like I said, there was not a lot of quantity. But the quality of the items that we were given were definitely top-notch.
Before we close out the announcement section, we wanted to share a boo that was recorded and uploaded by a... Kiwi Outlander fan named Anna, and I will let you hear Anna in her own words.
Hi, this is Anna. I'm a fan from New Zealand. I really enjoy your podcasts and absolutely love the whole Outlander series of books and Diana Gabaldon, of course. We have a Facebook group set up for Kiwi fans now, and at the moment we're working together with our neighbours in Australia, which doesn't happen very often, to set up a Twitter event. NZ Oz TV Need Outlander for the 8th and 9th of December to try and get some interest in the TV networks over here to actually show the series on TV. We want to see it too. You'll find more information about this on Facebook and Twitter if you want to help us out. Anyway, just thought I'd say hello and thanks for the laugh.
So the New Zealand Australia TV Need Outlander Twitter event is this coming Sunday, December 8th or Monday the 9th, depending on your time zone. And those times are 9 to 11 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, 1 to 3 Pacific Standard Time, 2 to 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 3 to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 a.m. on the 9th in Perth, 9 to 11 a.m. in Sydney, also on the 9th, and then 11 to 1 a.m. in Auckland. You can find more information at outlanderambassadors.wordpress.com.
And now for this week's read-along.
Yes, this week we read Chapter 11, Conversations with a Lawyer, and we get to know a little bit more about Ned Gowan.
I always liked Ned Gowan.
And now that I say that, I'm wondering, we'll put this out there. So I've always said Ned Gowan, and that may be right, that may be wrong. But looking at the G-O-W from Glasgow, it's pronounced Gowan. I'm thinking it may be Gowan. So we'll just say Ned, now that we've said him. I was not going to say his full name every time we mentioned him anyway. But please, yeah, give us feedback. We would like to know this because we're not Scots or Gaelic speakers. So in Conversations with the Lawyer, Claire and the others begin their journey. They leave Castle Leoch, and she states that she feels some regret at the thought that she may never see the castle or its inhabitants again. She strikes up a conversation with one of the men next to her, and that is Ned. He is the scribe, and we find out he is a solicitor.
For those of you who don't know what that is a lawyer.
Yes, it is. And she learns that he will be, on this trip, that he will be the one who will be collecting Colum's income.
Well, he will be one of the people collecting their income. Yeah. If anyone's giving them cash, it's going to go to Ned. But there's like a giant cart that they're dragging behind them for...
No, he collects money. Anything else, if it's goods, will go into a cart or in something like that. The idea I got from the description of all the people surrounding or needed for this trip and Ned stating that he's the one collecting the money... is that this, to me, seemed like an 18th century version of an armored truck. I mean, it needed, obviously, needed the arming.
With well, what they were transporting was important and needed to get back to the castle. So,
yeah.
I mean, it should be well guarded. And let's face it, Ned is, he's an older gentleman.
I think he's an older dude.
While I think he could probably hold his own in maybe a little bit, I think that they need him.
He's not a fighter. He's not really a fighter.
No, he would like to be a fighter.
And we'll get to that in a second. He has a sense of adventure, that man does.
Correct.
So she learns that Ned had a private practice, a practice in Edinburgh, but he got tired of doing the same things and seeing the same people day after day. So he literally bought a horse and took some supplies and set out, not knowing where he was going to go. He said that he had a taste for adventure. And so he set off in the direction of the Highlands. And on the way, or in that direction, he met Jacob Mackenzie, who was Dougal and Colm's father, and who was actually robbing him.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And after he took his horse, Ned insisted upon accompanying him, even if it meant by foot. And that pretty much was how they started together. And she speaks with Ned a little bit more about Jacob and about the time that Colm became heir. And... we learned that Jacob died right about the time Colum was laid up with two bad legs. One from his first injury and the second one from his fall down the stairs. And though there was a stramash, a nice Scottish word, about who the next laird would be, it was decided at a gathering. So it took a gathering to decide this, and it makes sense. They mentioned that in the book already, that Colum would be laird and Dougal would be his legs and sword arm in battle.
Well, it was decided that way because while many people thought Dougal was maybe a more able-bodied than Colum, nobody thought that he was mentally ready or prepared or in a place that he could actually handle it.
He was a little hothead, they said.
Was.
Is. Sorry, Dougal is a passionate man. So Ned offers Claire his advice, or says basically, if you ever need any advice, you know, I'm here. And he also offers his discretion, and she counters with, to the same extent as your loyalty to Colm McKenzie. And he's like, touché, mon chéri, touché. She assures him, she says again, that she's an English lady and nothing more, but understands that Ned is, his first loyalty lies lies with Colm.
His discretion only goes so far as
he won't tell anyone other than Colm.
Right. And depending on the content, like if she tells him things that are, you know, not related to anything Colm's interested in, I'm sure he'll keep it to himself. But the minute it's something that Colm wants, it's going to go
or
right
could
into
affect
Colm's
the clan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And she discovers that Ned is packing heat. And once he shows her his goodies, his shooting goodies,
doesn't sound good.
Then
put them away, Ned.
Oh.
Exactly. You started
she,
it.
He actually reproves her somewhat that she's not armed. So,
but that's not her fault. He wasn't reproofing her. He was saying
and
that that
no
should
way
be remedied.
That they, and they would never have
No, of course not. But he
her.
Was saying that that should be remedied.
Yeah.
And he would said, speak. I think he said he'd speak with them about it.
And at their first stop, Ned sets up shop and the men of the local town or village begin to line up and they start taking care of their annual business with the laird via his representatives. And this goes on from town to town, or village to village, and after about a week of traveling, Claire begins to see or understand the real reason why Dougal wanted Jamie in the party. Before we go on to an example of that, and it has to do, obviously, with Jamie's back, his scars, but we've read through tweets of Sam, and I think others, but mostly Sam, that Sam talked about how he was... I don't know how extensive, but he was injured at least a little bit in the flogging scenes. And
that was in the interview.
Yeah. Okay. So we learned that he was injured at least a little bit. And so these are, you know, Tobias takes his role very seriously, which I'm a Sam fan. I'm a huge Katrina fan, but I think the sleeper is Tobias. Seriously. Because there's no focus on him. We know he's there. We know he's going to be like, we know he's going to be a great blackjack, but I think he's the sleeper. Maybe not the star, the sleeper star, but I'm sorry. I'm such a huge Tobias fan. Not a blackjack, but a Tobias, you have our support.
Are you still going to be his fan when he wallops Sam?
Or when the end of the book comes? No, it's not a Tobias thing. It's a Blackjack Randall thing. So I can separate that, but anyway, I just, I like Tobias. Okay, so we've heard Sam talk about how he was at least somewhat injured in that scene in some of the taping, and we agree that that's obviously a flashback scene, right? Because it takes place, he's already got scars.
Scene, I mean.
So yeah, it's past tense. So we know that they have already, the production team has already employed the prosthetics. Right?
Right.
Okay. Whether it's in the middle of that scene or if they're doing this scene now, we don't know. Or if they've gotten here yet. But we know they were planning on it. They've talked about it. We know that they've at least probably used them already. So I'm really curious about how good these scars are going to look. I think they're going to be pretty great. And I thought I read something to that effect, that they're really kind of
I remember somebody saying that they were pretty gruesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's probably going to be more gruesome than a partridge on a pie, but I think I'd rather look at fake prosthesis or at a fake. I'm sorry, that just pie rubbed me the wrong way. The bird, not the pie.
Get back to the read along. No more pies.
No more pies. Oh, and also, I had to say this because I've talked about how I could have sworn I read it. And you don't remember where it was or hadn't remembered. And I found it. And I had to say, Fat Rupert is on page 152 of the blue trade paperback. So I knew that I had read it and I was not making it up. So this has nothing to do about our lovely Grant
O'Rourke.
Yes, nothing to do with him. It's the character. This has been in the book at least since 1991, if not earlier.
I still want to know how somebody fatly does something.
That's very, yeah, that was funny. I never heard that adverb before. That's very funny. So we find out the real reason why Dougal wants Jamie in the party, and that is to use him. So Dougal is giving a rousing speech to some people at one of the taverns they stop at, and Jamie doesn't really seem to be liking what Dougal was saying, but he's just hunched over.
He's kind of ambivalent.
He's like, dude, just do it, get over with, and, you know, do your thing.
He's like, I'm just going to drink my beer.
Exactly. And then suddenly Dougal rips Jamie's shirt and spreads it apart so everyone can see the scars on his back. And there's gasping and people are, you know, shocked and getting angry about this because of, I'm sure, what's going on in Gaelic is about the English, and it's just, he's trying to stir the crowd up. And Claire wants to say something, but Jamie says, Sassenach.
Jamie doesn't say it.
Yes, he does. Who says that? Who else calls her Sassenach?
Nobody calls her. It's somebody says it in the crowd as a reference to the English.
I thought it was Jamie.
No, and I will find it right now. There was a general gasp at the sight of the scarred back, then a buzz of excited indignation. I opened my mouth, then caught the word Sassenach spoken with no kindly intonation, and shut it again. It was not, I don't think it was Jamie.
Well, it does not say it was Jamie, but it does not say it was not Jamie.
No, but yeah. Not. But he's not, he's not the only one who ever uses that word. It's not exclusive.
That's true. That's true. And so, because what I thought was that Jamie was trying to, like, get her to, like, not get involved. And so he was, but you're right. Because it wasn't said with a warning, it was said with an unkindly, correct? So since he was rousing up the people, if you will, it was likely one of the people, yeah, who was like, those darn Sassenach. So
right.
It would not have been Jamie. Okay, that makes sense. I can agree with that. So Jamie ends up taking off the rest of his shirt and balls it up and throws it somewhere, and then he leaves. And at this time, men start throwing coins on the table in front of Dougal.
So as much as we hated it, it's a very effective method.
Apparently,
of raising funds.
And Ned this made me laugh. It's like, Ned's like, okay, my turn. And Ned just stands up and starts putting the money in the separate pouch. So he's definitely keeping the money separate from the rents.
Rightfully so.
And obviously,
which makes me, I mean, I'm sure Colm has to know about it in some degree.
Some way, I'm sure he's aware of at least Dougal's feelings or intention. Who knows if he knows this exact thing is going on. So he was raising money for a potential rebellion in the future.
Right, but something Claire had said earlier that you didn't mention was when he mentioned that he had drawn up the contract for his Colm's becoming Laird. He was part of the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
He put that whole thing together. And Claire asked him, are you Colm's man or Dougal?
Mm-hmm.
Or Dougal's man? And he said, you know, my oath is to Colm.
Mm-hmm.
But she, it was kind of like, I feel like this, the fact that he's collecting the money and keeping it separate, I'm wondering
if he's more Dougal's man.
Right. If he's more Dougal's man and whether or not he will take that information back to Colm, which would make him more of Dougal's man than Colm's.
Mm-hmm. If he keeps it from him, yeah. And it's obviously clear, but this is the first time, I guess, we read or that the reader experiences the definite statement that Colm and Dougal were Jacobites.
Correct.
And Claire tells Dougal that she doesn't approve of his using Jamie toward the goal of his raising money. And Dougal ends up giving her Jamie's shirt to mend. And she's like, do your own damn shirt. And then he's like, okay, I'll just give it to Jamie and he can do his own. And she's like, well, That's just not nice. And she takes it.
Well, that's just insult to injury.
It is. And she takes it. But then Jamie comes in. No one hears him. He comes in, grabs a shirt, and walks out. So, poor Jamie.
He's just abused in this chapter.
Jamie, in this chapter.
And he's not physically abused. That's the thing. He's not really, like, he's not being beaten or flogged like he was in the past or, like, anything like that. But this one is just, like, it seems like it's just total mental abuse. Like, it just seems like they're beating him down.
Dude, Jamie is abused this entire book.
I know, but to use
his scars
for something
his
else.
Experience.
It just seems, I don't know, it just seems so wrong.
And so I think it's that night. It could be another night, but I think it's the same night. Claire is given a pallet indoors to sleep,
because
of the conversation. So the rest of the men are outside, and she's given a pallet indoors. But it's so stuffy and so warm with all the people and the smells and the fire still going that she needs fresh air. So she takes her blanket and goes outside and finds a quiet place on the grass. And she contemplates the stones that she had gone through, stones in general, as markers of spots of danger. She doesn't quite identify what type of danger, what they actually mark, but she thinks about the people appearing and disappearing into different time periods and, you know, goes on about thinking about that, which she's reflected on before. And she overhears Dougal and Jamie having a tiff about Dougal's methods of his collecting money without Colm knowing. And Claire then goes to sit next to Jamie once he's alone. Dougal goes off. And she suggests that he hit something and that he'll feel better. So he goes and he hits a tree. And when he punches the tree, she realizes that he's left-handed. And she asks him about fighting left-handed. And this is a scene I hope we do see, that he basically gets up and like does this elaborate fighting scene with himself and this and himself and an imaginary intruder.
Well, explaining about using
the fighting methods.
Right. And the disadvantages different and the disadvantages of left-handed sword.
But also the different types, like the broadsword, another right. sword, and then the ski and do.
And then with the targe.
That's a nice little sequence. I don't know. I just, for some reason, it stopped me and I thought, I hope they keep that. We also learn that Dougal was the left-handed fighter that taught Jamie all of that. And he calls him the best fighter.
The best left-handed.
The best fighter. Left-handed fighter that he's ever seen. Jamie also says that he'll allow Dougal to continue what he's doing, using him. Basically. For what he wants for now. Finally, this goes on and it all comes to a head in a village. I hope I'm saying this right. Tunic. When someone makes a remark to Jamie, a personal remark, when he's exposed, and Jamie punches him. Now, no one steps in to help him. Rather, the scene is viewed as some type of entertainment and people start making bets. And it ends up being 3-on-1 at some point.
Well, and I remember Claire kind of sat to the side and she goes, isn't somebody going to help him? And they were like, nah, he's got this.
Exactly.
The odds are still in his favor.
And Diana writes something to the effect of that Jamie backers were collecting their winnings. I don't even think they waited to the end, but they were already placing bets once the fighting began. Jamie wins, of course. And afterwards, as Claire is patching him up, Murta comes in and says something secretive about a place called La Cruim. I probably butchered that too. And something that will happen there in about a week or 10 days on. We have no clue what that is about, no, but it's something that he knows.
They keep mentioning Horix.
And they we've heard Horix
twice now
in this one chapter. So one of the things that I love, and it's happened before, maybe we didn't point it out, but I love when Claire's modern mutterings are responded to by Jamie's complete incomprehension or puzzlement. In this chapter, she mentions boxing and tap dancing.
Oh.
And he's just, you know, they're going to keep those or some fashion of them. Maybe not exact words, but that has to be. She's not from his time. That has to be part of this, right, of the series, at least the first book.
Well, we also learn in this chapter that Jamie's father is dead.
Yeah. No details yet, right?
No details yet. That I'm sure they'll come later. I mean, I know they will, but I'm sure they'll come later.
Yes.
But it is mentioned that his father is the one who taught him to fight.
Oh, like a boxer.
Like a boxer, yeah. But they don't know what boxing is, yeah. So. But his father taught him to fight because he was big. And they said when you're big, they either come at you in fear or they come at you to try you out. Mm-hmm. So you have to basically fight one right away. And fight him fast,
yeah.
And they'll leave you alone, or else you'll be fighting for your whole life. That's kind of what he said. And then I think Claire said that your father would be proud of you, and that's when he said, "My father's dead."
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, "Well, he would still be proud of you." I think more intimacy growing between the two of them, with all of their little shared quiet moments, mostly happening while she mends him.
Let's just say this trip that they're on, a lot of things happen on this trip.
That's all I'm gonna say. But it was a good chapter.
I'm not going to mention what it is, but I have to say Ned is one of my favorite characters.
I do love
Ned. He is Colm's or Dougal's man or not. He is a mensch. He is a good guy. He really, he's just a good guy.
He tends to fight on the side of fair. Mm-hmm. So he does, even when it's for, you know, he's supposed to be doing it for a person because they ask him to, he does try to always it seemed like, do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he's definitely one of the good guys. I agree. I guess that about wraps up the read-along this week. Next week, chapter 12, The Garrison Commander. So
oh, good gracious.
Looks like we're going to be reaching Fort William next week.
And you know who comes with Fort William? Oh, we don't know yet.
Well, we'll know when we read it.
I know, but I'm saying we don't want to say who it is.
They'll read it.
Okay, you'll
so
find
please,
out.
Read chapter 12 and join us next week for the chapter 12 read-along.
Thank you, as always, so much for joining us. We look forward to our next episode. Have a great week.
Thank you to our generous audio host, audioboom.com. Our audioboom channel is www.audioboom.com/channel/OutlanderPod. Visit our website at www.outlanderpod.com. Follow us on Twitter at OutlanderPod. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/OutlanderPod or email us at OutlanderPod@gmail.com. My young love.